And we had better be doing that too. You and I had better be rowing with every iota of strength that is in us for heaven, and had better be setting our course for heaven and nowhere else. But you will say when you get there that it wasn't your wrestling with wheel and rudder that got you there. It wasn't your setting your course for heaven that got you there. It wasn't your rowing, even when you rowed heroically. It wasn't your rowing that got you there, but your anchor. Your anchor will have drawn you across those seas of life, so often stormy and troubled, to your destination, and nothing else will have gotten you there. So a most unusual anchor, isn't it? That anchor, the Word of God says here, is hope. And you've probably seen hope symbolized by an anchor. But the reference is not to your and my activity of hoping. I hope it's going to be a nice day tomorrow. I have these plans and those plans, and I hope the weather cooperates. It's not what the Word of God is talking about here. That's an important thing, and even a wonderful thing. That activity of hoping for the Christian is not just a nice wish, like hoping for good weather, but it's assurance. When I say I hope, I mean I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. But that's not the Word of God here. The Word of God is talking about what we sometimes call the object of our hope. If you're talking about the weather, then it's the weather itself. Sunny day, no rain, that's the object of your hope, what you're hoping for. And that's what the Word of God is talking about here. The object of our hope, what we hope for. And that, beloved, is not something, but someone. Christ is our hope. Christ come in the flesh, made like us in all things except sin. Christ who knows the feeling of our infirmities. Christ crucified for our sins, and risen again, as Paul says in Romans 4, verse 25, for our justification, the proof of our acceptance with God. Christ exalted, our heavenly high priest at the right hand of his Father. Christ is our anchor. That's what the Word of God is telling you here. That's our soul's anchor. He, in heaven, entering into that which is beyond the veil, is the only anchor that will keep our souls until that final destination. It's because Christ is in heaven that our anchor is there at our destination. It's because Christ is there in heaven that our souls are finally drawn through all of the troubles of this life to that home and harbor in heaven. He draws our souls there. That's the word of God here in this passage. And if you have any doubt about that, then the last part of verse 19 and verse 20 make it absolutely clear that that anchor is not our hoping, but Christ himself. First of all, of course, in verse 19, that reference to the fact that our anchor enters into that within the veil. That's the presence of God. But verse 20 confirms when it says, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Christ in his offices, Christ is the Son of God and Son of Man. Christ crucified and risen again and exalted to heavenly glory is that anchor for our souls, sure and steadfast. Mustn't ever forget that. No matter what storms blow up, no matter what seas you have to cross, no matter what troubles and trials you face in this life, don't lose sight of the fact that your soul has an anchor, sure and steadfast, and that it's no other than Christ himself. And as the Word of God says, that anchor will never fail us. Sure means, in terms of an anchor, sure means the anchor won't break. Christ's work as the Savior and Redeemer of his people cannot come to nothing, can't be broken. If I may put it that way, that anchor was designed by God himself in the counsels of eternity. And verse 18 speaks of the designer and of the fact that what he does is unbreakable. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Designed in the counsels of eternity by God himself, forged as no anchor has ever been forged in the fires of the cross. And if you will, I'm going to come back to that, riveted to our souls by the work of the Holy Spirit. Sure, indeed, and steadfast, never lets go. I want to talk more about that, but in a few minutes, I'll talk about the fact that there are times in our lives where it seems is that we have no anchor, or that our anchor isn't holding. But the Word of God assures us here that because Christ is our anchor, that's impossible. Sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil. I'm sure, my dear friends, that as we talk about this anchor, you some of you more than others, feel the need, see the need for this anchor. Feel it in your own life, your own soul, as we speak of these things. There are, of course, and that's part of the need for this anchor, there are those storms that the devil blows up in our lives. And you know how they assault our souls. Storms of temptation. When it seems, really does seem impossible that we get through those storms safely, that it would be better just to give in to Him. Let the storms overwhelm us. Perhaps the book of Hebrews was thinking of those storms of persecution that have come up in the history of the church. And you know that there is going to be a storm before the end comes and Christ's return, the like of which will never have been seen in the history of the church. How will I, if I live that long, how will my children and grandchildren weather that storm? When even Jesus says that it will be such that if it were possible, even the elect would perish. How will I get through those storms? There are the winds that are blowing in our society and in politics. We don't have to even read the news to see that. We're teetering here in our society on the brink of total anarchy. How will we get through that storm? What's going to happen in November when we have presidential elections and when the devil is using so many of those who stand for office to rage against his church, against Christ's church? Feel sometimes when you think of all of that and face all of that, that your soul is adrift in a wild and stormy sea? I do. But then there are, sad to say, those gales that the devil blows up in the church. How are we going to weather those winds? It's going to happen when it looks as though the winds are not only going to blow my soul this way and that way so that I hardly know where I am anymore in relation to the Word of God, but when those winds threaten to blow families apart, and even look like they're going, sometime at least, like they're going to destroy the denomination that we love and cherish. We need an anchor, don't we? Need it desperately. And then, of course, there are those storms that blow up here. Storms of doubt that make me wonder if I will ever see that destination that's promised in the Word of God. If you've not weathered those storms, then I could tell you that they are some of the worst through which the ship of our souls ever has to sail. There are those storms that blow just before we come to that last harbor. When we finally have to face the fact that we don't have much time left in this world. I think the older members of the congregation know what I'm talking about. As you get older, at least for some of us, that's true. When you get older, then you look back on your life and you look at yourself and you wonder how that old, sinful wreck of a ship is ever going to make it, whether it even can make it to that final harbor. The Dutch had a name for that. They called that, in English, the death struggle. And many of God's people have to go through that before they leave this life. And that's one of the storms we have to weather and cannot possibly weather without an anchor. Storms that arise out of the weakness of our faith and that the devil blows up, and which seems sometimes as though they'll overwhelm our souls. We sang Psalter number 114, Psalm 42. Since, O my God, my soul is bowed in exile far with bitter grief, still out on the sea and the winds are blowing, in exile far with bitter grief, I turn my thoughts to thy abode for consolation and relief. With mighty voice, deep calls to deep, while raging storms thy judgments tell, the angry billows o'er me leap, the waves of sorrow near me swell. You ever feel like that? It's not uncommon, not this version, but the version in the back of the Psalter. It's not uncommon that God's people wanted to sing that on their deathbeds. But there are the storms that arise, and you know what they do to the soul. Storms that arise out of family troubles and marital problems and all the rest, all the storms of life. It seems sometimes, doesn't it, that there's hardly a calm sea in life. And that's why we need this anchor, sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Otherwise, and you understand that, don't you? We feel that. Otherwise, we would go down under it all. And in fact, sometimes think we are. The winds would blow us so far off course that there would be no hope of our ever reaching our destination, no matter how far we had come. That's our need. But we have an anchor, sure and steadfast. Remember Job? All his troubles? And they weren't just the difficulties of losing family and possessions and of being desperately ill with something that was probably a form of leprosy. But they were troubles that affected his soul. Three friends added, of course, to those troubles with their horrible, horrible charges against Job. But you get a sense of the state of Job's soul in chapter 3, where he laments all that had happened to him. Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. I wish I had never been born. My soul, that's what Jesus said, my soul is sorrowful, even unto death. And what shall I say? But Lord, deliver me from this day. But we have an anchor, and Job found his too, by the way. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And the worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Though my reins be consumed within me. We have an anchor, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That's that anchor. But that leaves the question. And that may be a question that is troubling some of you right at the moment. Why is it? Why is it that right now or at other times in my life, I feel that I have no anchor? That I'm blown this way and that way and every which way. That I'm going to really be overwhelmed by it all. I can't possibly go on and make it safely through all this. Why is that? Is it because, beloved, as has been suggested, that while the anchor is securely anchored in heaven, I'm not holding on well to the other end? Is that the reason? That it's my responsibility to do that, and I'm not doing a very good job of it? I hope you don't think that. If you think that that anchor on your end depends on you holding on, and you are as foolish as someone who thinks on the deck of a ship that they have to hold the chain or the anchor won't hold. Imagine that. I couldn't even lift an anchor chain. And you couldn't either, of course, much less hold on to it. Not even in calm seas. So that's not the answer. That can't be the answer. And somehow or other, the security of that anchor, that it's sure and steadfast, depends on my holding on with all my might. That anchor, I said that earlier, but it's worth saying again, that anchor is riveted to my soul by the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration and in giving me faith and repentance and every other gift of grace. And that chain, Paul describes it in Romans 8, is unbreakable. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The problem is not that the chain on my end is weak. I'm weak, but not my anchor. And not the work of God Himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in giving me that anchor as an anchor for my soul. So what's the problem then? Still doesn't answer the question, of course, why do I feel like the psalmist in Psalter number 114, the angry billows o'er me leap, the waves of sorrow near me swell. The answer is in verse 18, which speaks of fleeing for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I could best describe that, I think, by using the description of our life, which I've been using all along. Word of God, there's talking about what you would do if you're on a ship, on the deck of a ship, in a hurricane, and are afraid that the ship is going to go down. Seems like it's being blown every which way, that nothing could possibly save the ship. And you stagger. That's our spiritual condition sometimes. You stagger, holding the rail with all your might, to the front of the ship, put your hand on the anchor, the chain, and feel its strength, feel that it's holding. That's what the Word of God is talking about. And that's what we have to do in those times where it seems that our souls are without an anchor. Flee for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, on Christ. And you do that, by the way, when you do what you sang in the seventh stanza of Psalter number 114. Though troubles surge, yet through the day the Lord his gracious help will give. And in the night my heart shall pray and sing to him in whom I live. Then you're doing what Hebrews says, fleeing for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before you. You do that when you turn again to the Word of God and remind yourself by reading the Word of God of all that Scripture says of that anchor, of its forging, of its design, its eternally divine design. And remind yourself, too, of the fact that that anchor is yours by the work of God's own Spirit, whose work is truly unbreakable. And then you find, too, find the comfort which the Word of God has in mind for us here. That strong consolation which faces all the troubles and trials of life, all the storms that the devil blows up in your own heart and in the church and in our society. Face them with confidence, not any confidence in yourself, but confidence in that anchor of which the Word of God speaks, sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil. You do that, won't you? Flee in your troubles and trials to lay hold upon the hope. And now you know who that is. The hope set before you. And do so in the confidence that it will not be long before we reach that blessed harbor where our souls, so troubled, so distressed, so often overwhelmed by the problems and difficulties of life, where our souls will find rest in Jesus. And where there will be no more storms, but everlasting quiet, everlasting peace, and everlasting blessedness. So take this Word of God home with you. Take it home for today, but take it home for the coming months. And take it home, too, knowing that it's not long before our Lord returns and we have to face that last great storm of all. But take it home in peace. Amen. Father, we thank Thee that we have an anchor for our souls, sure and steadfast. Jesus Christ Himself, our Lord and our Savior. May we flee every day anew to find refuge in Him. And especially, Father, when we are overwhelmed and cannot go on. Forgive us the weakness of our faith. Forgive us when we falter and doubt. Forgive us all our sins, the sins of this sermon and our hearing it as well. But forgive us for the sake of Him who suffered and died for our sins and who is now in heaven, beyond the veil, as our anchor. In His name we pray. Amen.